Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man. And of course, we couldn't do it without the Hall of Famer, the greatest of all time, ladies and gentlemen, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
Good morning. Great, young man. Sorry I was unable to attend Jerry's funeral, but I've had a lot going on here in Charlotte, and rather in Tampa. So my apologies. I heard it went very nicely, but congratulations for representing for us.
Absolutely, man. Fantastic ceremony. It was awesome to get to see all of Jeff and his family and his extended wrestling family come pay their respects. And Mr. Jarrett would have been proud. It was nearly sold out. They were hanging from the rafters. So very nice little ceremony. If you'd like to catch up with it, it's over on Jeff's YouTube channel. Just look for Jeff Jarrett, My World on YouTube, and you'll be able to see the full ceremony there. They live streamed it for those who maybe were in poor health and couldn't attend. I know Lawler would have loved to have been there, but he's still on the road to recovery himself. But we're just thankful to have a minute to celebrate Mr. Jarrett.
Yeah, you asked me a question the other day about the last couple of guys that you know really ran a successful independent promotion, and really the last two were Vern and him. Before the WWE, you know, actually took over everything. So
it's crazy to think, you know, how long he made it as a promoter. Yeah. I mean, I think the USWA was around until 1997 or so. And I mean, by then, man, everybody had packed it in years prior, but the innovations and the legacy, they will live on and the full life. And we should talk about somebody else's career who's had a pretty full life. The great Muta. Just had his final match. It looks like that's a career now.
How did that was about a month ago, right?
Well, so what he did is he did a final match as the Great Muta, and he did a final match as Keiji Muto, you know, so he had a version of his character under the paint and then one where he was without the paint. So without the paint is now finished too. It looks as if he's had his last match, and I know they had it over in Japan this past weekend, and
was that the one Sting was at?
Sting was at the last Great Muta match, which was last month.
Yeah. Okay.
So he did like a sort of a final farewell tour, but it really affected pop culture. A friend of the show, Jim Valley, actually posted where the bus stations and train stations and all the mass transit stations there in Japan had posters just promoting his last match. So much like you had your last match last year to a lot of fanfare here in America. It looks like he had quite a bit of PR over in Japan too. And what a career he had, man. What do you remember your first impression of the Great Muta being?
Well, they actually wanted me to show him around. You know, he was a real shy young kid. What do you think they put to show him the town when he came to Atlanta? Because he'd been nowhere. How old is he now?
That's a great question. Let me throw that in and see if we can.
He's got to be close to 60.
60 years old. You're exactly right. He'll turn 61 this year.
Yeah, no, I took him around to all the local establishments. He was very popular. He was really a handsome kid. Yeah, he'll go down, you know, to me, of all the guys I've wrestled, you know, which have been a lot of them over there, he'll be in the top three. He's right there with Fujinami, Tenryu, the guys that I thought could work, they could work both ways, but they certainly understood. You have to remember, I wrestled Kabuki. So I did a whole gig with Kabuki prior to that. A Japanese named Takachio, but Gary Hart used to manage him. So Gary, you know, had experience doing that because Gary managed Kabuki, and then he of course managed Muta, which was a good, we had a great run, man. It was great. He could work. He was really smooth. I hope they'll put him in the Hall of Fame this year. It'd be great if they did.
Oh, excellent call on that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Best I could tell, it looks like you worked maybe a couple dozen matches against Muta.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how would that have. As far as an American style match, so you're going to wrestle, say, for WCW, you and Muta, Does he speak enough English for you to be able to do a match the way you normally would?
Yeah, okay. Because they trust me, listen to me.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if I can wrestle a guy a couple of times and we pretty much know each other and he trusts me and he knows I'm going to take care of him. Because they're not ready. The Japanese kids over there, especially the older ones, are trained to be just, you know, they don't sell. They were, you know, God, you can't sell for the gaijin, you know what I mean?
Right.
For the Brodies and the Hansons and the guys of yesteryear and that. But no, he understood it all. He became a great worker. Fujinami was great. Tenru was great. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that would call some of the Japanese wrestlers great wrestlers because they can do so many crazy things. But if you can't sell, right, and you can't make a comeback because it's never really a comeback to make because you're always on the offensive, I can't relate to that as being a great worker.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, total sense.
And it's certainly not what you grew up on.
No.
I heard when Jim Ross really made me proud this week. I saw where Jim was comparing me and Steamboat
Sasha and Charlotte.
Huh?
With Sasha and Charlotte.
No. It was saying that we just were the best of our time.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I heard Seth Rollins on Pat McAfee saying that, and keeping in mind that Seth and I were for good. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But he was saying that, you know, the times have changed. As the guys sat in rest holds, I never sat in a rest hold with Steamboat ever, as right. You know. Even if it was for an hour, it was on rest hold. So, Pat McAfee, if you're out there, and Joe Rogan could talk a shit, bring me on the show. I'll explain the facts and the realities of wrestling to you. No one knows them better. So, Pat, I love you and respect you, but I'm long overdue on your show. Okay. Quit kissing the WWE's ass and bring me on.
Well, all righty.
And Joe, quit canceling. If you want to know something about wrestling, Pat, call me.
We
onewrestling.nate. and go through Conrad to get me.
Yeah, I'm actually, we follow each other. He could slide in my DMs. We can make that.
Yeah, I know. I love Pat.
He's the best, man.
Yeah. The relationship he has with Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal. And the relationship he has with DraftKings is even better.
No doubt. That is the best relationship.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I can be on Ryan Clark's The Pivot and I can be on mine, which is going to be as big as yours eventually. You know, me and Conrad are locking down. I can certainly be a guest on yours. You want to know something about wrestling, clothing, style, women? Call me.
Okay. All right. Hey, you mentioned him at the top of the show. Seth Rollins, we saw what, or at least it looks as if we know his WrestleMania plans now, an Elimination Chamber. Somehow, some way.
Oh, wait. At least I got one right.
Hey, you nailed Asuka.
I nailed Asuka. With the rest of it, man, I get the theory, kid, and I think he's obviously a very, very talented guy, but I guess they figured that Seth is so positioned so well and doesn't need it, but many different things. He's like kind of like a utility player now, like I was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Except I didn't have to change my persona, you know, every couple months.
Well, even when you're getting along with Seth, you just can't help it, can you?
No, but I mean, that's a company doing that.
Right.
I don't think that's his saying, hey, I want to change this every day. Do you?
No. I mean, listen, I think what he's doing is working right now. I mean, his dressing over the top with those big red boots and all that. Hey, man, he's getting some attention for himself. And he got enough to get a match with Logan Paul, who is a big-time influencer. I'm actually looking forward to that as far as a spectacle at WrestleMania.
Oh, it'll be a hell of a match.
I mean, you got to think.
And that's why they didn't put the belt on him. I understand that. That makes sense. See, I didn't expect Logan to be coming back. So I guess that's why Seth was cracking on him, saying nobody likes him behind the dressing room, right? Yeah. Is that all part of the story?
Maybe so. We know that Austin Theory got his hand raised there, and the rumor is that he's going to be taking on John Cena. John Cena has been announced as coming back to Raw from the Monday Night Raw in Boston. I don't know if they announced it on TV, but they certainly let people in the Boston area know, hey, buy your tickets. John Cena's coming. So a lot of people have this theory that WrestleMania this year will be Austin Theory versus John Cena, perhaps for the U.S. title. And maybe that's smart. It keeps John out of the world title picture and keeps you and him tied at 16. What do you think about Cena coming back for Austin Theory?
Well, I know this about John. If he, and this is what really makes John special, if there's a scenario, and this, trust me, this is not from him, but I know him very well.
Right.
If there's a position that'll help the company.
Yes.
And help an individual that he likes, he's in.
Yeah.
By the theory wrestling, John Cena makes Theory automatically a big player. Whether you think he is or not, he's getting to wrestle John Cena.
That's
and
a
John
big
deal. Cena is a big deal. It is.
Yeah.
It's like, and John's in that category of when Austin comes back and Rock comes back, John Cena comes back, it's a big deal. And John is, you know, very given. It's not about John Cena anymore. It's about what I can do to make the company better and be a company guy. But by the way, you got to pay me a lot to do it.
No doubt. No doubt.
I'm sure there's a paycheck involved. He's just not walk around there and go, woo. I can't get, even if they're going woo, I can't get in the arena.
You know what's funny? I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Elimination Chamber, but I actually managed to talk Megan into watching the main event. I'd shown her some of the storyline recap videos, and she was like, yeah, I want to see that match. So we watched the main event live. And of course, during the course of that match, remember now, we're in Montreal, a largely French-speaking audience. And every time there's a chop, the whole place woos.
Yeah.
And I was explaining to her, I said, how crazy is it that Rick's not there? This is another country where the primary language isn't even English. And every time there's a chop, here comes a woo. And I bet a lot, there's a certain segment of those fans that are younger fans who never saw you wrestle, who maybe haven't watched a bunch of your stuff on the network, but it's now just a part of, I don't know, the lexicon of wrestling, that it's just understood. If you do a chop, you woo. That's quite the legacy, that you're not there. You're thousands of miles away and they're still doing it.
Well, you're undermining me now. They also go woo all night long before the lights come on.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. I'm proud of it, but I don't get paid for it. So I'm flattered, but I wish it was a dollar attached to it.
You know, it's funny because they do it at every, you know, sporting event in the world. Sure. Too. Like we started the Huntsville Trash Pandas here just before the pandemic, our minor league baseball team, and they woo just throughout the thing and throughout the games. And a buddy of mine went to a game, and he's a realtor friend, not really a wrestling friend. And he texts me and he goes, hey man, do they have to pay your father-in-law for every woo? And I go, he and I both wish so, because that'd be a different deal.
We'd have a yacht of our own and we'd have a drawbridge to get to it.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, they're going to need a drawbridge for the Roman Reigns main event. This past weekend, man, that crowd was on absolute fire for Sammy. I thought it would be one of the hottest crowds ever, and it exceeded my expectations.
They had a hell of a match.
They did. What did you think?
Sometimes I think there's too much to the finish, and then I watched it. Then in reality, I mean, that's a Michael Hayes special written all over it.
Right.
In my estimation, Michael is the greatest. You know, if Pat was the greatest, there's an example right now. I would have never thought in a million years Zayn was that kind of athlete. That's a very athletic thing to do.
Yeah.
This is where he flips over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Jumps over the top rope down to the floor, crashing on Roman. The fans were with it, man, every step of the way. And a lot, I know some fans, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's a contingent of fans who were disappointed. They felt as if it was going to be Sammy's night, and that the WWE was missing the boat by not pulling the trigger. And we didn't really see Jay turn heel. We're going to have to see what happens. Is he with Sammy? Is he with the Bloodline? We don't really know. We didn't get the big embrace with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And they've given us some time to tell that story as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania.
Hey guys, need to call a quick timeout here. Wanted to tell your listeners what I've been telling my listeners over at OU Didn't Know for a while now about all the cool things happening over at adsfreeshows.com.
An all-new mailbag series debuts later this month on Ad Free Shows as we pick the brain of a man who has spent 40 plus years in the wrestling business. Longtime WCW and WWE referee Nick Patrick answers your questions.
And Kurt Angle,
where you getting beer on it? Or me?
It ended up being my own blood. Austin had the title. It had the little jagged edges on it, right? And they had a deal where Angle pulled me in, and I took a belt shot.
A little bonus content comes your way, courtesy of The Kurt Angle Show. A dream match became a reality back in 2016 as Kurt Angle squared off against Cody Rhodes on the Independence. For the first time, Kurt watches back his match against the American Nightmare.
This kid's really talented.
He's selling the ankle here on the leapfrog, went down on it awkwardly. He's outside the ring talking to the referee. This is, like you said, all part of the match plan. Hey, start to show that weakness in the ankle.
Yeah. This was his idea to make it look like he hurt his ankle so that when he did lose, he had something to gripe about.
Ad-free show members have chatted one-on-one with AEW stars like Eddie Kingston, Dax Harwood, Ricky Starks, and many more, including a recent live interactive session with Renee Paquette.
He still continues to do that. He's on commentary in AEW. I think it was cool for him to kind of put on that analyst hat and get to kind of test out those waters a little bit. But end of the day, it was a thing that I think made him feel like, you know what, wrestling can be okay again. I can have fun in the wrestling space again. And now we have CM Punk Wrestling. So you're welcome.
That's just a small taste of what we got waiting for you. With four levels to choose from, see for yourself why Ads Free Shows is the best value in wrestling today. Sign up now at adsfreeshows.com.
What do you expect for Sami Zayn at WrestleMania? Would you expect it to turn into a three-way? Do you think it becomes a tag affair now with the Usos and Kevin Owens? What say you?
Well, I'm going to stay true to my thought process. It's going to be Roman and Cody. The three-way, I think. I've seen some, and they can be really good, but it's not nearly as meaningful, especially if in the three-way the champion doesn't get beat. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Then to me, that's not really changing the title.
Right.
If you beat the third guy, then what are you doing?
Yeah, you didn't really beat the champ.
Yeah, you didn't beat the champ. So if they're going to make a point, whichever way they go works, I'm sure they'll have a hell of a match. I think Cody deserves it, but Roman has done such an outstanding job that if they leave it on Roman, you know, more power to him. Sometimes you don't want to take the momentum off something that's working so well. So that could be people could be deceived by that too. But I mean, you and I both want to see, I want to, because that's the one chip, as Cody would say, that his dad never got.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him have it one time. And I don't think it would hurt Roman at this point, but there again, I don't know, because I'm not looking at the actual statistics of marketing and everything else. But Roman's been carrying that ship for a long time. We're carrying the flag for a long time.
So, it's crazy to think too, just how long Roman has been the champ. I don't know that you've kept up with this, but over 900 days at this point.
Yeah, I can believe it.
That's a lot, especially for the modern era.
Yeah. And he's wrestled everybody.
Yes, he has.
From Brock. I mean, he's wrestled some tough guys. So, I mean, he's had some really, you know, world-class talent. Oppose him. So, you know what I'm always going to think? I think the Queen carries her side of it, and I think Roman carries his side of it. And they couldn't have two more dedicated and two more qualified people representing them.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
What do you think so far of the way they're choosing to tell the story of Cody in the main event? As of yet, he's not had any interaction with Roman. It's all been with Paul Heyman. Lots of verbal jousting, some great segments. I've enjoyed all the segments, but I'm wondering from your perspective, what do you think about them keeping Cody and Roman separate for now and just working it through Paul?
Well, I think that they're going to give it a good month. I think that's about to heat up. And actually, the less interaction they have,
the better, right?
The better. Yeah, I mean, when you watch a big-time heavyweight fight, right? Like, let's go back years to Ali and Frazier, right? They saw each other at the weigh-in, and then they fought, but it was sold out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's two ways of thinking. Sometimes we spend so much time, spending weeks and weeks of back and forth, and unless it's really, really good, it becomes repetitive because there's only so many ways to keep you from actually going at it. And now they can actually figure out a way to keep them from ever, deciding decisively, one guy getting beat up, the other guy. I mean, that would be unusual. I think that would work, but it works anyway. It's going to work no matter how they do it. But to me, the less they're put in a combative position, it's people are waiting to see God because they've never touched, right?
Right.
And that's pretty exciting too, right?
No doubt.
I mean, there's so many ways to look at it with that, but it's going to be great no matter what.
So would you put Sammy and Kevin Owens together against the Usos at WrestleMania? Is that what you think?
Based on what I've seen, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other rumored matchup is Edge versus Finn Balor. I kind of thought maybe that was in our rearview mirror, but it felt like that
threw me way off too, because I thought they would keep the steam on Rhea, but I look at it like a regular person sometimes too, and just don't look at the big picture because it wasn't just about Rhea,
right?
But, I think you'll see Rhea being phased out now and generally going. I think they have a face off Friday night, the Queen and Rhea, which really get them rolling. We're about a month out, right?
Yep.
That's when you really start going to war and, putting the pieces together. Cause people forget what happened. I mean, can you remember the finishes from WrestleMania last year?
Not all of them, no.
Can you remember them from Raw 2 weeks ago?
Well, that's an excellent point. No.
So sometimes it's better to keep it fresh and keep them as far apart as you can be. I know it's probably frustrating for them because they're looking at how we used to do it in the old days but it's a new day and a new look, and I like it.
It's going to be fun. Everybody's saying this is going to be the biggest WrestleMania in history. I'm certainly expecting some records to be set. And speaking of records were set this past weekend. After Elimination Chamber went off, a lot of fans turned on Fight TV and they watched Sasha Banks become the second ever IWGP Women's Champion. Quite the match. a co-main event there in San Jose, and all the stars turned out, man. Dave Meltzer was in the crowd. CM Punk was in the crowd. Signed guy Dudley from ECW, who now works with Impact, was there. Scott D'Amore was there. Bayley was there to support her pal. And yeah. Sasha Banks is the new champ. And all I could think watching this dude was, it feels old school to see a superstar like this in different promotions and picking up gold. I mean, this was a throwback to the way things used to be before you had to be sort of exclusive to one company. What'd you think of Sasha winning the title?
I think it's great. I think it's great for business. And in all fairness to anybody else, Sasha's one of the top four women performers alive right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and she certainly, it's not going to change tomorrow.
No.
You know, the only thing that would ever slow Sasha down if she took too much time off, and that would just take her one match to knock the rust off. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. I'm happy for her, and she's now she's conquered two worlds. So I'm really happy for her.
I think it's interesting that, you know, go ahead.
Well, here's what brings up a point I was going to make, because I think about it a lot. You know, all you look at this social media, and it's just one thing after another. Obviously, Sasha is not coming back to the WWE.
Well, she will eventually. I just don't see
it. Oh, yeah. But I mean, not for WrestleMania.
No.
I mean, I'm sure she's got a year-long deal there, whatever. If she's got a carte blanche, then better for her. But it's all these things like, do you really think, every time I look at something, somebody from AEW is jumping over, like Kenny Omega now, you know what Vince McMahon would do to somebody that even hinted at leaving his company?
What's that?
Squash him.
Well,
right or wrong.
So I missed this. You saw Kenny Omega like teasing a jump?
No, they were talking. Well, I'm unfortunately, because we're in this business, I look at the other podcasts and look at stuff.
Oh, I see. And there's speculation that he might be leaving.
Yeah, I mean, so.
I mean, let's be honest. I think it's inevitable that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and a lot of those guys have a run with Vince McMahon. And I know that probably upsets some folks, but the reality is.
No. I hope they do.
I think.
But if I'm Tony Khan, I got a guy working in talent relations saying, shut the fuck up.
Right.
I mean, really? You think Vince would tolerate it?
Right.
No, really. I think Tony is becoming so enamored with the product. Like I said to you the other day, and he's also very not enamored, so personally attached to the product.
Right.
As he is with the football as well. Right. Yeah, he's not looking at what's going on. Why are they still talking about CM Punk?
Well, the company's not talking about CM Punk.
Huh?
The company's not talking about CM Punk.
Well, he's getting his name out there all the time.
Well, there's a difference between getting your name out there. But here's the thing, just so you know, because you may have forgotten, but
help me out.
He can't wrestle. He's injured. Ooh. So he Punk. At that last pay-per-view, he either tore his pec or his bicep or tricep or something, but he's out. So he's nursing an injury. So even if he wasn't.
No, but does he work for AEW or not?
Yeah. He gets paycheck every other week or so.
But I thought they were going to fire him.
Nobody said that.
I know, but how do you have a melee like that and there's no consequence?
Well, I mean, guys used to fight all the day in the back.
Guys used to. We're talking about today.
Well, I mean, here's my question. Like, we're both pretty close.
And I'm happy to get a paycheck. Don't misunderstand me. But you're not, I don't want anybody to take this slant. But it's the rumors. And if that's what creates business, then good for them. But I look at it and nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
In AEW, nobody knows. WWE, everybody knows their role, jabroni. I'm using rock stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would you not agree?
Well, listen, I'll be honest. I'm not there. So I don't know what everybody knows or doesn't know. But I do know that there's a whole lot of people in AEW who are making a great living and not being asked to do a whole terrible lot. So
that I'm total agreement with you.
Feels like that's a pretty good deal to me.
It's a great deal, but yeah. If you want to be a worker and you want to be on TV and you want to become the greatest or whatever you aspire to do besides make a check, you got to be on TV working.
Right.
Right.
I'm not arguing that.
Did you get great with your mortgage business by not going to the office?
No.
You're the greatest podcaster now, or one of them in the world. Are you doing it by having somebody else do your shows?
No.
But you've got to be visible. You've got to take the good with the bad, but you've got to be visible to get great.
Yeah.
It's what it is. You got to go to work. And I mean, shit, we all like getting paid, but not if you want to be great.
Well, I guess the question is, you know, if you're one of the talent who are excited to have the AEW opportunity and very happy and pleased with your financial terms, but maybe you're frustrated with your ability to find a spot on TV because it is a big roster. Mm-hmm. What's the path forward? What would your advice
be? It's a big roster that's getting an 800 credit score.
Yeah.
840,000 viewers.
Yeah.
So the great roster ain't getting any numbers. Agreed?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I have this conversation with Eric all the time. We don't know how the network feels about those numbers. I think
the network loves it because they love programming.
So that's where their money's coming from. So that's a win, right?
I don't know, but I mean, if you're not going anywhere in terms of the numbers, which means are the numbers not reflective of the number of people that are watching?
I'm not arguing that. That's 100% accurate.
Yeah. So less people are watching than ever.
Well, we can't say that. I mean, there were 1 million people who watched 2 weeks ago.
I know, but I'm
down last week.
I know I'm saying, but I'm not being critical of anything. I'm just saying that the greatest roster in the world, would you not agree after 3 years, they should stay at a one at least?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think everybody wishes that their ratings were higher. No doubt.
That's not what I said. Do you not think after 3 years that they should be averaging a one every week?
I don't. I think AEW has identified the ceiling. I don't think realistically we're going to wake up in a world where AEW is twice as big as they are this time next year or the year after that. I just think there's only a certain amount of people who are going to watch the program the way they consume the program. I think a lot of people keep up with the product online and through other sources that aren't just watching a set top box. I don't think WWE's ratings are going to grow. We all agree WWE's creative is better than ever. Why haven't the ratings doubled? There's just not that much interest in wrestling. I think we found
I didn't say doubled, but they're staying over 2 million viewers every week on SmackDown, and they're averaging like 1.8 with no football on Raw. Those are damn good numbers.
It's also broadcast versus cable, and it's Friday night versus Wednesday night. I mean, Friday night and Wednesday night are probably the two least desirable television nights.
But it's Monday and Wednesday.
Right. No, I was referencing the AEW product.
Yeah.
I get where you're going. You would like to see the ratings growing, and you would like to see the company growing its audience. It feels as if they're not growing. I would argue that they're not dying, though. I would say that the ratings.
Oh, I didn't know. And no way, shape, and form said are they dying, but I'm just saying there's, you know, the one thing I am out is I'm out a lot. I do a lot of autograph signing and that. And as I told you in the old days, I could walk through an airport and I knew there was something going on.
Right.
Right. I don't hear anything. I hear more about my documentary.
What would you do if you were in Tony Khan's seat? Because it feels as if you think there is a formula or a strategy. What would be your strategy to grow the audience?
I would continue to own the company, but I would let somebody fresh book it.
Okay.
I mean, you know what? Because he books, he runs it, but he also is very vested personally in that football, which he takes a lot of pride in. And the Jaguars are getting better, which I'm really happy for them for. And Doug Peterson and the quarterback and all that are really improving. And they'll probably be in the playoffs next year. So that what I'm saying is Tony has to divide his time and his passion between two things. And sometimes, yeah, I think, you know, how Vince doesn't like to delegate authority. Well, in this case, he's delegated a lot of authority, or however it transpired, to Hunter, and it's working, right?
Right.
But he still has his hand on it. Does that make sense, Vince?
I'm sure he does, yeah.
So that's what I would just suggest to Tony, that maybe he step back, he's got, and let somebody, you know, take a look at it. I even said, like, I mean, I was making a joke to you, but a guy like you that watches it, and the studies like you, you could book the show.
Well, I mean, listen, if he was going to bring in people just to help consult with booking, I mean, I would think you'd want to talk to Dutch Mantel and Kevin Sullivan. I mean, those guys have written a lot of TV over the years.
Yeah, but it's old time TV. See, you're the one, you're the first to remind me of that. It's old TV.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just thinking Tony has enough of the new school representation in him. Maybe combining some of the old school stuff could work too, because this bloodline storyline and a lot of what's worked is what Eric Bischoff would call discipline. You know, they really took their time with this. They didn't rush it.
That's a credit to guys like Bruce and Ed Koski. I mean, to work there for 20 years like Bruce and Ed Koski, it's a miracle.
Yeah, it is.
It's a tough, insensitive job.
Yeah.
And where Hunter sits, having to make all these decisions, deal with talent relations, I mean, it's a lot. It's a long day. I watched it.
Right.
And if he gets 2 minutes to himself, same with Bruce, same with Ed, you know what I mean? And I just think sometimes if you step back and find somebody that I would never go to an old school. I would find somebody that I had confidence in and take some of the pressure off of the management of the booking end of it. Instead of letting, I'm actually of the opinion that the guys book themselves.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I'm watching a show, I think Chris Jericho has probably
no doubt
to say, huh?
No doubt.
He has a lot to say about what he does. Obviously, the Young Bucks have a lot to say about what they do. Obviously, Kenny Omega does. And I understand Kenny's a very smart guy. I've only met him a few times, but what a nice guy.
Yeah.
So sometimes you got too many people with the creative control or whatever they have under contract.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, the rap has been for a long time that wrestling fans didn't like writers in wrestling. I think, you know, knowing how WWE is doing now without a certain filter, their creative seems like it's as good or better than ever.
Absolutely.
And it's with a team of writers. And if there's criticism on the other side, well, there's not a team of writers. So I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way. I just think, hey, when it's good, it's good. And when it's not, it's not.
Yeah. Let's leave it at this. The WWE has agreed in principle to let their things work.
Yes.
Right. And it's changed, moving people in and out. Tony hasn't changed a thing in 3 years. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you can tell that it's still Tony booking for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, why not give it somebody else a shot? This is not knocking Tony. I'm just saying,
you know,
he's on a private jet flying to the football. He doesn't miss a football game.
No.
He sits with his dad. I mean, actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't attend some practices. He likes the football. Plus, he runs a soccer team over in Europe.
It's a lot.
Hands-on. So why not try plugging somebody else in new just to see how it works? Someone that can tell everybody, hey, this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
You don't like it? The WWE is not going to take all of you. I can guarantee you.
Right.
Not at the money you're making here. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting couple of years, because I do think AEW has been in a state of transition. You know, you look back to the way it launched in 2019 and what the company looked like, you know, just at the end of 2021. So just 2.5 years later, man, it looked a lot different. And I think it's just going to continue to evolve, but that's kind of necessary. One of the things that we've seen recently with Tony Khan, I wanted to bring up to you, is he had a little online jousting session with Ariel Helwani, who's one of the more respected MMA reporters.
Yeah.
And he started to do some work in and around WWE,
yeah,
including showing up at SmackDown in Montreal and being in their crowd and all that jazz. And of course,
hey, everybody wants to be with WWE. I don't blame Ariel at all.
What did you think of the back and forth there on Twitter? I'm sure you.
I didn't see it. And see, once again, I didn't hear about it and I didn't see it. So help me out here. I can only look at this shit so much.
Ariel's on the program and Tony Khan tweeted at him, basically saying that he was as much of a journalist as Tony Schiavone, which is tongue in cheek. And then Ariel responded back and, you know, said he couldn't wait for their next chat because they had an interview once before that didn't go as well as Ariel would have liked.
And I don't understand what Tony meant by that.
Well, because he's at a WWE show.
Yeah.
So if he's trying to maintain some sort of independence and journalistic credibility, but yet he's on camera in a WWE crowd holding a WWE microphone, likely getting paid by WWE. And as a rule of thumb, most journalists would say, well, you can't.
Now, who was doing that?
Ariel Helwani.
Was that a WWE show?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said AEW. Sorry.
Nope.
You're talking about Montreal.
Yes.
Okay. So Tony took a shot at him and saying you got about as much credibility as Tony Schiavone.
Yep.
Well, Tony has a lot more credibility in the wrestling business.
Well, no doubt.
Yeah. I'll take Tony's side there all day long.
Well, Ariel responded back and clearly trying to be tongue in cheek and get some attention for himself. And then Ariel or Tony Khan tweeted, hey, good luck with your unbiased journalism. And then all weekend, and even on NXT, as you and I are recording this last night, they referred to Ariel Helwani as an unbiased reporter who isn't afraid to ask the tough questions. So there's some veiled shots going back and forth on the programming now. This exemplifies we really are in a little wrestling war again, man.
I guess. Well, I actually was going to text, because I'm sure you're curious too. I was going to text Ariel or Shale what they thought about next Saturday night, because I'm excited about that. John Jones, baby.
I can't wait to see John Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not going to miss that.
No.
I'm taking John all day long. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know how you can bet against John.
Boy, it's 25 pounds lighter than that guy.
Still, though, John's never lost. I mean, there is a loss on the record, but in reality, it was a bullshit DQ. He's never lost. It's hard to bet against a guy who's never lost.
I know, and he's exciting, too. He's a badass, man.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
The 5-star reviews are in and it's confirmed. SaveWithConrad.com can save you thousands. Jimmy E writes that we saved his family more than $1,000 a month. James S says we saved his family more than $1,200 a month. But how much can you save? It's free to find out right now at SaveWithConrad.com. But if you've got a second mortgage, if you've got credit card debt, or even worse, if you're in a 30-year loan, it's not a matter of if we can save you money, but a matter of how much at SaveWithConrad.com.
Before we get there, we should mention that this weekend, I can't believe this is real. Jake Paul is fighting Tommy Fury. Of course, Tommy Fury is the younger brother of Tyson Fury. Jake Paul, of course, the younger brother of Logan Paul. And Jake has fancied himself a boxer, and now he's fighting a real boxer. What do you think? What do you expect? Is Jake Paul going to get his hand raised or not so much?
Let me tell you something about the Paul kids, both of them. They're tough kids.
No doubt.
I mean, I don't care whether they're YouTube or whatever they are referred to, people make jokes about them and that. They're tough kids.
Yeah.
I've met them both. And I tell you right, after what Jake Paul has done, I wouldn't bet against him. I wouldn't bet on it. I don't think he'd overmatch himself. He's on such a run. I think he has. I'd be very confident in saying I think he has a real good chance. Who do you like in it?
Yeah, I got to pull for Jake Paul. I too think that he's on a trajectory. They want to keep rolling. It's probably better for boxing.
They're legitimately tough kids. I mean, they really are.
No doubt.
I mean, who thought that Logan could jump in the ring and work like he does? He does some incredible shit.
Well, I'll tell you, when you've got one-on-one personal training from Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
It's, oh,
is Shawn been teaching him?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, there you go. That's it. There's the answer. I did. I heard that, but I wouldn't know that was verified.
Could you have a better trainer than Shawn?
No, absolutely not. That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Because the thing that makes a difference between him and a lot of guys that just show up, he's got some of the fundamentals down really good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And if you haven't got the fundamentals, I don't care how much shit diving off a top rope and all that you do, it means nothing if you don't have the fundamentals down.
Well, here's one of the fundamentals for us. And that's getting a good deal on some steak. The wait is over. Quality steak, free shipping, period. The Backyard Butcher's restaurant quality steak boxes are now available online. You're getting steakhouse quality bulk meat specials responsibly sourced from American farms delivered right to your door. And for a limited time, Backyard Butchers is offering 15% off plus free shipping and four free ribeyes for life. I got to tell you, I wasn't sure what to expect here because when they told me this was cheaper than a grocery store, I thought, well, that sounds too good to be true. And then I had it. Fantastic. Why not cut out the middleman with responsibly sourced 100% American beef, pork, and chicken, all sourced from the farms across the heartland of America. The Backyard Butcher's meat is fresh, safely packaged, and delivered to your door in an eco-friendly insulated box. Make sure that meat shows up at your door at the ideal temperature. Now, let's remember there's no subscriptions and there's no membership necessary. But if you do choose to subscribe, you can cancel anytime. But I'm telling you, once you try them, you'll be back. You're going to reorder. You're going to love the price. You're going to love the ease. You're going to love the quality and the taste of Backyard Butcher steak, pork, and chicken. And right now, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners of this podcast a special introductory deal. Get 15% off plus free shipping and four free ribeyes for life with every subscription. You'll thank me later when you visit backyardbutchers.com. Click on the online shop and order. Remember, there's no subscriptions or membership necessary, but when you choose to subscribe, four free ribeyes for life. So why wait? Get your hands on some of the best steak, pork, and chicken you'll ever taste and make your next steak night an event to remember. Visit backyardbutchers.com and use the promo code FLAIR to get 15% off your order, free shipping, and four free ribeyes for life. Rick, we got so many questions here. There's no way we'll get to them all.
Let's get to the juicy ones. Let's get some controversy where I can shoot.
Okay. let me find one. Here you go. Any stories about Sweet Daddy Siki?
You know what? I only met him one time. Not one. I met him in Toronto. He was a big card in Toronto.
Jordan wants to know if AEW, WWE, or Impact offered you a backstage role or a manager role, would you take it?
Absolutely. AEW or WWE, but they won't.
Why won't they?
Truthfully, because I'm too good at what I do.
Oh, okay.
Even at my age, I'm not talking about being a producer, not being a writer. I don't mean that. I'm talking about to give me a microphone and let me have at it. I don't know. You tell me.
I love you for that.
Listen. I've made $700,000 doing cameos, and they're just a minute long. let me just piss up here.
No, this don't show us. Don't show us. Come on.
No, I have to because it's absurd. It's absurd.
You're absurd. Michael Ravel wants to know, what are your thoughts on Gunther going more than 60 minutes in the Royal Rumble? What's wrong with you? Look at you.
Read that.
I see it. Done pretty well.
That's just talking for 2 minutes.
But Rick, don't you remember you did the match last year because you're broke?
That is 21 months.
Yeah. I'm just chilling, doing selfie videos.
So I can talk to somebody I don't know, much less a TV camera.
Yeah. Michael wants to know, what'd you think of Gunther going more than 60 minutes in the Royal Rumble?
Well, first of all, anybody can go out there. Oh, I know, there's something else I got to clarify with you too. Yeah, anybody that can go out there and go a 60 minutes period is going to be someone that I'm, you know, I think highly of.
Sure.
It's 60 minutes, no matter how you, whether just walking around the block, 60 minutes is 60 minutes.
Right.
And that's why I pat myself on the back when people want to know why I'm crazy and why I drink and shit. Can you imagine I did that for 15 years, over 300 times a year, not 15, 8 years, over 300 times a year. Sometimes twice, all the way to 89. Some from 81 to 89, sometimes twice a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Ask Ricky Morton what it's like wrestling 9-hour Broadways in a week.
That's a lot.
Steamboat. And Steamboat and me were doing 90 minutes.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's a day off. And then I had to go be the nature boy. Look, that's a lot of pressure. Wrestling 90 minutes in the hot sun and then going to be the nature boy. Whoa. Who could do that? they want to know why I'm nuts, man. Woo!
I love you. Izzy Patton wants to know, which world title run was your least fave and which one was your fave? Did you have a least favorite run?
The first one, where I didn't draw any money. 81. Where I didn't draw a double nickels. It didn't look like my phone. It looked like this. I made $50,000 less than I made working for Jim Crockett.
That's tremendous.
Because the arenas were empty. Nobody knew the fuck I was or cared. I hadn't been on Turner TV enough. And, you know, to be a big star in the Mid-Atlantic area was one thing. To be a big star in Kansas City and Portland and wherever else I had to go, New Zealand. Jesus.
I don't know what I expected there. What's your favorite run? So your first one was the worst one. What was your favorite one?
Anything else was good.
Robbie Rogers says, and you want to talk.
I really had a good time being the WAV champion the first time because I got to wrestle think about it. I'm wrestling Hogan, Savage, Bret Hart, you know, Shawn. It's hard to imagine, but I think at times, and you think about it, when you're getting to wrestle Terry and Dory and Jack and Harley Race and King Kong Brody and Stan Hansen and Ted DiBiase and Dick Murdoch and Wahoo, and I mean, the list is endless of great names, Steamboat, getting to wrestle these guys every night across the country, across the world, Tenru, Saruta, Rick, we mentioned his name, Ricky Choshu, Muda, and who's the kid we broke in, and Fujinami, we broke him in Charlotte. I mean, who gets to do that and get paid and have fun doing it? Even if it was for an hour, because I can guarantee you, if I took you over there and we did something in Japan, going to Japan with me is a lot different than going to the tourists. It was. There's an area over there called Shinjuku after we get off the show. It is the red carpet part of town.
Okay.
They'll give you a bath. You'll think you're like a duck in a tub. There'll be so much soap on you, they won't be able to find you as they're pouring sake down your neck.
I've heard some stories from circumstances over there.
They used to go, Bubba wants to know, you want to do Korean barbecue or Shinjuku? Shinjuku, please. I'll buy my own Korean barbecue. Korean barbecue? Let me think. Or Shinjuku. Okay. No problem.
John Riviera says, hey,
and by the way, if anybody pisses me off, the list of guys I took with me is endless. This, they want to hear their name and who they've been in Shinjuku. I've taken Shinjuku. They better be nice to me.
I've heard,
unless they want to explain to their wife why they were getting soaked like a rubber duck.
I don't know how much of this we'll be able to air, but here we go. John Riviera says, Arn Anderson talked about a bar you guys used to go to in the Milwaukee area back in the day. He said it was on a lake. Do you remember the name or any other favorite Milwaukee spots?
God, the lake. I wonder if he's talking about the Harbor Master in Jacksonville. Hmm. That was on the intercoastal on a lake in Wisconsin. Well, hell. Arn and I have been to so many bars on lakes, one in this country or the other. It's confusing for me.
Yeah.
Milwaukee was fun. Milwaukee was a good town.
Charlotte here from Alex.
The place we put on the map was the Snuggery in Chicago.
Yeah.
And the Safari Club in Baltimore. Those two stand out.
Alex Rogers.
I can remember waking up in the morning and a girl next to me woke up. She looked like Linda Blair. Her head was spinning around. She's a flight attendant. I said, fuck, I'm going to miss my plane. She said, well, I'm the flight attendant on your flight. There's no say. We're running down the goddamn jetway. And her hair is all fucked up and everything. And she runs in. And then 5 feet behind says, oh, hello, Mr. Blair. How was your evening? Hey, when you've opened your life up and you've told everybody what to do,
what a great story.
It's the goddamn truth.
My goodness. Well, listen,
I can't remember her name, damn it. I'd give her a shout out.
I bet you'd know her if you saw her.
Nah, a long time ago. Listen, a lot of these girls that come up to me now and say, I remember you. And I said, I don't remember you. Surprising. Oh, yeah, we went out. Really not a chance. You got me confused. Stan Lane.
It was Buddy Landale. It was the other nature boy, by God.
I can't blame it on anybody else. But somebody with blonde hair. It was Ricky Morton.
Yes.
No, Ricky brought me down to your room in a robe. Well, oh, you. Yeah, these signings catch up with you, man.
Oh, you've had that happen recently?
Oh, God, just last week. What do you think maybe brought this to my attention?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you remember me? In Baltimore, of all towns. I don't know. Did you have my watch in a spaghetti bowl? I don't know.
They never try to pull the okie doke and be like, meet your son.
No, haven't had that. On that note, the backdrop just dropped.
That was a flare flop, which means it's time to talk about Woo Wings, Nature's very own virtual restaurant brand, now operating in over 30 locations across 11 different states and many more on the way. You can order the legendary flavors and world championship Woo Wings from your Uber Eats or Postmates app in Nashville, San Antonio, Miami, Jacksonville, and Clearwater, Florida, all over Los Angeles and New York, also Charlotte, Raleigh, and Concord, North Carolina, Atlanta and Richmond Hill in Georgia, Tuscaloosa and Huntsville in Alabama, of course, Tulsa and Providence as well. Woo Wings is a virtual brand, so it is delivery only. And the food is made by restaurant partners with an existing location who are looking to add more to their bottom line. For a complete list of current locations and to find out more about becoming one of Ric Flair's restaurant partners, visit RicFlairWings.com. And if you're in a Woo Wing City, order today from the Uber Eats or Postmates app and try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time world champion, Woo Wings. So listen, you said you wanted some controversy. We opened it up for questions. I got a controversial question. Mm-hmm. Robbie Rogers wants to know, can we get Rick's side of the whole ordeal with his Ring of Honor appearances? This would have been
absolutely
years ago. I don't recall all the details, but I know there were some hurt feelings on the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. They asked me to go out and say that they were a bigger product than WWE. And I said, I absolutely will never do that. And they said, you're under contract. They said, well, what you're told. And I said, well, I'm under contract for that, not for that. I won't do it. That's all it was. Simple as that. That gets into the whole Michael Baticchio. We should do a special on Michael Baticchio.
Well, he's with High Spots. I think that's a different deal. I think this.
No. Michael put that deal together.
Oh, okay. With you and Kerry Silken?
Yeah.
I see.
No, I had a good relationship with him, but I mean, their idea back then of was me going to a strip club, you know, before the show, and I mean, it's a whole different world. I'm sure they're much more sophisticated now, but I can remember the incident.
Tony Khan bought it, so.
Huh?
Tony Khan owns Ring of Honor now, so it's a totally different ball.
No, what I'm saying, though, is that you know, let's go to a strip club and kill some time, and just the whole deal wasn't... You know what it was is I'm sure they're different now and much more sophisticated, and I know a lot of people that have done very well better than them. But with me, there's no way in God's green earth I wouldn't do it at TNA, I wouldn't do it at WCW. I never went. One of the reasons, Eric, they put a lot of pressure on me to go out and say the shit that they said. Right, you know what I mean? They were about Hulk and Kevin and Scott every week. Right there with Eric. We're going to close you down. Now, do you really think I'm going to say that?
No.
No one. Number one, Vince McMahon has been my best friend. Number two, Austin's up there, who I'm close to. Undertaker. I mean, 100. I'm not doing that.
Right.
And guess what? I didn't. And I'm sure that didn't help my relationship with Eric.
Right.
But that was the whole deal. I said, guys, I'm not doing that. And as a matter of fact, I don't like any part of this shit. Because I was doing, I see the kid once in a while that I was doing some announcing. I'm terrible color commentator. I mean, as much as I love the business, Vince tried that one time. He said, you're horrible. I said, some things you don't have to tell me. I'm very aware of. No, I was horrible at it, but. That's a whole Michael Baticchio dig, man. If I ever tell you the scoop on him, brother, you busted him last year.
I thought you and Michael were on good terms. You're doing WrestleCon stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am. Yeah. And I work for Fitterman. I don't work for Michael.
Yeah. Well, Michael's been.
No, we are on good terms, but you caught him doing shit.
Well, it wasn't him. I mean, he had a rogue employee who I thought was making jokes that were inappropriate, but that's water under the bridge. Michael and I are on great terms and have done a lot of business together since. So
No, we are. We're talking about years ago.
Right.
But the question is comes from what? How many years ago?
15? Yeah, it was a long time.
There's been a lot of different variations of stories.
Right.
But at the end of it, I can assure you that I don't owe anybody any money. And if anybody owes any money, it goes back to a situation that it's not worth discussing.
Copy
and
that.
Like you said, I'm at a point now where I forgive and forget. They should too. But I can guarantee you the whole thing started when they wanted me to say that. And you know me very well. I could be mad as fuck at Vince or Hunter or anybody. I'm never going to say that they have. That another company has a better product, because I would just sound like the damnest fool of all time. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think there's any arguing WWE's number one.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. In my documentary, which I told you, I'm very happy. Bruce basically said, I didn't draw money up there. I saw Bruce, right? When I said to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely didn't. I didn't. I went over, but I've said that to you before.
Yeah. You said from day one, I wasn't over in New York.
No, I was over when I went back up when I was 55 years old.
Right.
I got over there, but when I first went there, nobody knew who I was.
Right.
They did in Ohio. I mean, there were towns I did really good in.
Right.
Towns were towns where you had TV, where WCW had been, right?
Yes.
But the Garden wasn't one of them. I don't think I ever sold out the Garden, and that was their deal. I certainly sold out Philadelphia and Boston and all that with Hulk and that. And, but So let me put it like this. There have been some other guys that have been champions that drew a lot less money than me. We could start. Let's get that list started.
Well, let's get another.
And at the same time, that's 42-year-old Ric Flair.
Right.
You know, 35 might have been a different story, but I missed it. I missed the marketing, and I missed all that by 10 years. But I don't regret my time in WCW. I mean, especially even like last year, that when, and it's this documentary, why they picked me, but it's given me a new life and a new perspective on life. And as I said, on a very personal note, you know, all my friends, not a lot of them lately get sick and have some major issues, really given me a real new perspective on life and where I don't need to be walking into American Social when I'm 80 years old, my favorite place, and be going, woo. I'm here. Woo, 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 woo.
Well, listen, I assume you're going to be there this weekend, because as we're recording this weekend, you're the big birthday boy. What are the big plans for the big 7-4?
I'm going to dinner with Joe Dino and probably half the town. I'm just the worst thing is I'm turning 74. What the fuck? WTF. I'm supposed to be dead, not turning 74.
I don't think you can put 6 dozen fucking candles on a cake indoors, can you? How are they gonna do that?
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Oh man, this was fun. I don't know what I expected today. I thought for sure, man, there's not a lot going on. What are we going to talk about? We found a way.
We did.
Fun, as always, and we'll be back next week talking all things Ric Flair.
And right? I think you could book AEW and do a damn good job.
Will you stop?
Woo!
See you next week.